Zayat Stables Principal Ahmed Zayat joining me now on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, campaigning, the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, an American Pharoah. And boy, what an afternoon that was. Ahmed, really appreciate you taking a few minutes here on the show. And again, congratulations on all your success and on that Triple Crown.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on your show. It's my first time being on your network, and I'm happy that I am finally on it with you. And guess what? It still sounds surreal when I hear the owner and breeder of a Triple Crown. If you would have seen me right now, like, there's a big smile on my face.
Well, it has been 8 weeks since he pulled off that historic feat. When did the magnitude of his accomplishment finally sink in, or has it sunk in, Ahmed?
I think the better question is exactly what you just said. Has it sunk in? To be honest with you, I understand our horse have won a special race, that we want something big, but it didn't dawn on me yet. It just didn't fully sink in that, oh my God, we actually are the 12th horse in the history of the sport that have achieved something that have not been done before, except by 12 unbelievable legends. So, yes, I know something special happened, but I think the historic accomplishment, the honor and the privilege that this happened to our horse and for us to be part of that, it's an absolute elation, gratification, blessed, happy. I mean, you can use a lot of adjectives here. I mean, it's an incredible, incredible privilege.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I mean, those sentiments I know are going to be heartfelt on your part, and rightfully so. And when you think about all of the iconic owners that we have in the sport, Ahmed, you know, names like Phipps and Whitney and Calumet and Claiborne and Farish, you're a relative newcomer to the sport of thoroughbred racing, having just gotten into the game in 2005. What's it like having your turquoise and gold colors associated with just the 12th Triple Crown winner in history?
It's an incredible, prestigious accomplishment. Again, I keep telling you the word, it's an honor, it's a privilege. It comes with huge responsibility. The sport is built on history and a very rich history, and we are just very privileged to be part of it. And it elevates you. It makes you want to act better and always be on your, so to speak, kind of best behavior and be the ambassador, if this is the right word, to the sport and try to do what's right for a wonderful game. So it's daunting. It's a privilege, but sometimes it's scary. And I've made a commitment that, and it was really spontaneous, really. It came out of my heart. It wasn't rehearsed when we won the Triple Crown at Belmont Day, this unbelievable day, hearing the roar of 90,000 strong and the feeling that never in my life experienced. And I just told everybody, you know, this used to be our horse. This is now America's horse. This is the fans' horse. And I tried to open our heart and our door for every single person who is a fan of the sport to come and admire him and spend some time with him. And I can't thank enough the barn, Bob, his team, and every single person for letting people to come and to feel that they are part of it. Yes, so being part of this elite owner makes huge privilege, but makes you feel more responsible. And I hope that we will act with grace and do what is appropriate for everybody. And, you know, I've made also another promise, as healthy and as American Pharoah tell us that he can still race and perform at his peak and do what he loves to do, which is run and win, we will continue to do so.
Well, you've used the term we on a couple of occasions, and this really has been somewhat of a family affair for you, in particular your son Justin right by your side throughout this entire journey. What's that been like to go down this road with Justin and with your family?
Well, first, when I say we, it is the groom, the Jim Barnes, who haven't left this horse in a day, his now not only Hall of Famer, but a Triple Crown trainer, Bob Baffert, myself, my entire family, everybody. This is a collective decision. But honestly, we're all on American Pharoah schedule. He's the boss. He's telling us what we need to do. But now to answer your question directly, horse racing have been a blessing in my life because it created a very strong bond, particularly with my younger boys, both Justin and Ben. They are total athletes, but as you would have imagined, they have other alternative sports, you know, basketball, football, what have you. Hockey, they both are hockey players. And horse racing growing up was not, one of their premier sport, but as they continue to feel the bug and feel the excitement and understand this game, they're now totally addicted and into it. And it got us so close, all of us, not just as father and sons, but also with my daughters, Ashley and Emma. So it's a wonderful thing when your entire family are supportive and being part of these unbelievable, majestic athletes.
Talking with Ahmed Zayat, Zayat Stables, the owners of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ahmed, I've heard so many people say that this guy has to be crazy. If it was my horse, I would never race him again. What do you say to the people that make that statement?
I honestly can understand it. Maybe financially, that would be the right thing to do. But you don't go in this game like was done and spend tens of millions of dollars because it's all about money. Of course money matters. Of course we worry about money. Of course we look at it sometimes as an investment. But first and foremost, it's a passion. You love the animal. You love the sport. We love being competitive. We love enjoying the fans. We love the sheer smell of the horse. I love going in the morning, see them train. It's every aspect of the sport. We are, we are kind of loving it, but addicted to it. So for me, how do I deprive the fans and myself and my family out of an athlete who's thriving, who's doing it at so much at ease, and he loves what he's doing? Why would I retire him? I did a stallion deal that. It's only stallion means when the horse retires. Until then, he's my horse. He's my management. I do what I want, and it's my decisions. And therefore, if it's my decision and my family decision, of course, Mike, the horse will come first. The horse have to be healthy and happy. And look at him. He looks like $1 million. He's keeping his weight. His ears are perked. He loves what he's doing. You would never think that this guy have won through the Triple Crown. I mean, he's getting better and stronger and faster and maturing. So we have all signs of a horse that is being happy. Why then not enjoy him? We get into this game to have these stars, to enjoy them. Why then retire them? I know, yes, it's costly. The insurance cost is prohibitive. But at the end of the day, it's not only about money. And I stress the word only. So for me, it's just it would be almost criminal to retire him. You know, if he's not doing well, if he's not healthy and if he's not thriving, of course it's the right thing for any animal. Any horse, could be even 5 claimers in my stable. The right thing is to retire him. But if they're doing well and happy and enjoying it, by the way, they're bred to run. They are bred to enjoy what they're doing. I mean, these are the majestic animals. These are the thoroughbreds. They love running.
All right, so let's lay out this scenario then, Ahmed. With that being said, all things being equal, let's say that things go extremely well, and let's hope they do for the second half of 2015. He does what he's supposed to do the rest of the year. He's doing well at the end of the year. Is there an opportunity for us to see him on the racetrack as a 4-year-old?
The answer would be, just to be very transparent, it's a huge long shot. I think no, because it's not my decision. This is a decision of Coolmore, who bought the breeding rights. Our agreement calls for it that at the end of his third year, he retires like most thoroughbreds have been. Incidentally, that's not nothing unusual, even about Triple Crown winners. Secretariat actually retired at the end of his 3 years old. So it's not my decision solely. Do I have an influence? I know the Cuomo people are a class people. I know the Cuomo people have been in the business longer than I have. I know that John Magna, who I admire and I respect, has been a visionary in this industry, and I know they love their horses. Think about the horses they've owned and created, from Galileo to every single sire line. And these are people who love the game. They love competing of it. They love racing their horses. Saying so, they've made a serious investment in American Pharoah, and it's not for me to tell them, you know, when, what kind of return they should expect or not. The horse, as you would expect, did not come cheap, and they've paid a very decent money that I was happy with. And, you know, I have to be appropriate. I can only guide and say if it's up to me. Of course I'll race him as a 4 years old. I'm doing that for Al Kabir. Some of my horses I tried, I had prayer for a leave. Was, you know, racing almost to 7 years old. I had a lot of other horses, but some, you know, these days the economy of the breeding cycle and what's happening in Kentucky, that it's unfortunately, I say unfortunately, it's fashionable to retire them at 3 years old. And it's a dilemma, but that's the, you know, the reality of the business cycle and the reality of the investing in equine. You know, people have to expect return, and people who, you know, pay hundreds of millions of dollars have to be able to cash out when they need to.
Yeah, well, as you said, you own 100% of the racing rights, and those racing decisions are squarely in your hands. But from what you just mentioned, it sounds as if once we get past this three-year-old campaign at the end of this year, then you'll sit down with Coolmore and you'll say, hey, guys, I would like to keep him going, or I think that there's a chance that maybe he is not, you know, going to race as a four-year-old, and you'll have that conversation with them based on the amount of money that's on the table for the breeding rights. Is that right?
I don't want to have this false hope to anybody. There is, if you come to my head today, I will tell you 99.9% he's retiring. 1%, I'm always hopeful. I'm optimist by nature, but I think it would be a long shot.
Ahmed Zayat visiting with me on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ahmed, other than the now 1.75 million reasons to run in the Haskell, why was that the right spot to bring American Pharoah back?
I'm trying, when a horse like him, coming off an injury as a two-year-old, missing so much training, coming back and training so furious and hard and going through the campaign to show what kind of animal he is, it's only fair and right to try to bring them back in as easier spot as you can. Monmouth Racetrack as a track perhaps suits his style, although we know he's versatile. The distance is up, is the appropriate distance. Bob have an incredible track record in the race, including me winning together, me and Bob, that stables and Bob, winning the Haskell with Painter. He won, I believe, 7 or 8 of them. So I want, when I bring him back, that he comes back where he's not going to disappoint his fans. So everything from risk management, from, you know, keep the hope and keep the star performing, to keep exciting the fans and make the fans happy, that was a spot that I thought makes sense. On a selfish note, New Jersey is my state. I live in New Jersey. The state needs help. They've never had the caliber of a Triple Crown ever. It can boost the attendance. Just see what's happening even today. I'm told for a simple, gallop, there was 5,000 to 6,000 people on a Friday in the morning watching. Just cooling, there was perhaps 500 to 800 people today seeing him. So he's touched people's hearts. It just, I honestly, I don't want to disappoint. You know, it's all going to you know, it's all going to be American Pharoah. There's so much pressure now on Bob. You know, I have to weigh all these factors. I'm just, you know, I'm a transparent guy. I say it as I see it, like they say. So these were the factors that came in mind.
Yeah, well, if you think it's easy owning a Triple Crown winner, think again. There are a lot of things that go into it, and one of those is trying to map out a campaign for the rest of the year. And I know, Ahmed, you mentioned that the ideal spot to end the season would be in the Breeders' Cup Classic at Keeneland, of course, on October 31st. But there's been some varying reports as to whether he would have two prep races before the Breeders' Cup or three. Which is it? Have you spent much time mapping out that campaign?
Whatever I map up is meaningless for one simple reason. Honestly, two factors. The trainer is Bob Baffert. So regardless if he's a Triple Crown or not a Triple Crown, if you know, and I know you know, Bob Baffert, Bob trains his horses based on what he sees in the morning of that week. Meaning, all of the horses, and I had so many good ones with him, we were never, we might have a goal in mind, but he would never, ever let you know that we're going there unless the horse is working right that week, the 2 weeks before. He would be making, you know, the decision. He have called so many audibles before that was so spot on. And he honestly let the horse tell him. I mean, I know this is a cliche, but it's true with Bob Baffert. Bob will watch the horse and see how his demeanor, the way he's moving, the way he's acting, the way he's training, his energy level, his everything that goes into what makes him a very brilliant trainer. And so I and you and Justin and whoever makes the decision can sit and, you know, and play from a timetable, so to speak, what fits in. At the end of the day, American Pharoah have to tell us if he's ready to do that. So ideally, you would want to have a minimum of two, perhaps three preps. And we have to map what are those. Obviously, with a Triple Crown, you have to be more conscious. And frankly speaking, again, I told you that I'm not a guy who apple polish things or hide behind things. There is also the money will play games. Means all the options that are being offered. Everybody and his mother wants him in his track, and therefore people are throwing in our face a lot of money. But you know what? That has not been a factor. You know, I committed to Monmouth, and I told them, and they have said that officially long before, that I'm going there regardless what the purse will be. If they're going to increase it or not increase it, if they're going to add bonuses or not, I just wanted, I thought it was the right race. And therefore, so to be transparent, all these have to come in, how he's training, what Bob thinks, what opportunities we are getting, what offers we are going to be thrown in our face. And all these things we have to sit down, analyze, and say, and see, and then start weighing them. What comes first? For me, horse comes first. Second, fan. Third, money. Fourth, prestige. In that order.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, certainly looking out for the horse first. You can't go wrong with that approach, Ahmed. Let's fast forward to Sunday afternoon, shortly after 5:50 Eastern time. And if you can, just maybe look ahead and try to describe what you think you may be feeling or experiencing as American Pharoah goes into the starting gate for the Haskell.
I'm extremely excited. It is, I'm not yet nervous, but you'll probably see me washing out more than one time before the race, hours before. But right now, it's just excitement to see him back, to see him doing well and thriving and kind of, you know, I feel he's ready. I just want to see how that day, I usually can tell if he's going to be on his game or not. If American Pharoah is in his game, nobody's beating him. It's as simple as that. But he has to be in his game. Everything is telling me right now that he's a happy horse, and that's what you need him to be. But, you know, these are athletes. They can wake up not feeling happy. And I'm kind of in tune with my horses, and I'll be able to tell. I've never in my life dreamt of winning the Triple Crown. And, you know, I was on record, and actually some of my friends stated who are around us and Belmont Day at the paddock, I looked to Joanne and Bob, Joanne, my wife, and Bob, and I told my wife, get ready to be the owner of the 12th Triple Crown. And I looked at Bob, I told him the same, and I gave him a hug, and we both smiled because we can see how American Pharoah was acting in the post-parade. He was collected, he was calm, he was yet breathing fire, on the bit, ready, like it's showtime, boss, I'm ready. Like, it was unbelievable. But he was doing it with such, I've never seen him, that focused, dappled, happy. It was incredible. It was like, I really knew. And I, as crazy as it is, going with this confidence level, the post-parade, I was almost a statue, not moving, watching the race. My kids were looking to me, are you breathing? Like, because it's just, it, you can feel and know something, but when you're seeing it, it's almost in disbelief.
Well, Ahmed, congratulations again on that Triple Crown. Truly an amazing run, and I know it's not finished yet, so I speak for millions of racing fans around the world when I say good luck on Sunday afternoon with the champ, and let's go get it done.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being your guest. And may American Pharoah make everybody happy and make America proud.
Amen to that. Ahmed Zayat here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ahmed, appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you.
My pleasure.